KO4NUE, K4OIM here. The reason we are seeing so much wildlife now is because of all of the development going on. Over there, I mean, this where we moved from, we put in 2 miles out of Inman's. And they started building houses and all in there. Right down the road, they was acres and acres cleared. And then Duke Power came down there. God, I don't know how many acres they bought, and they just cleared it off, graded it flat, and there's hundreds and hundreds of solar panels down there. And all of a sudden, I could be in my shack, especially in the evening, and they were all kind of deer, all out there in our backyard, getting acorns and stuff. It's all because we are developing all this land, and the farmers are dying, and the kids get the land, and they don't want no peach orchard or apple orchard, so they sell it to these developers to build houses, and the wildlife ain't got nowhere to go except back into town. Go ahead and pick it up, Chad.
When I had the, when Mom gave me the place, there was the local newspaper, the Pickens Sentinel. They ran an ad in the newspaper. Let me back up. So my mother doesn't get around too good. So anything that I do on the property, she wants me to film it so she can see. You know, I mean, that's her home. I get it. So when I do something interesting on the property, I keep the little digital recorder there with me, and I'll set up a little tripod or whatnot, and we'll film whatever, you know, I'm doing. So, and we got her an iPad, so I'm able to share messages with her. Or share the video with her so she can see some of the videos. And so when I took over the place, there was a old bathhouse there that Uncle Claude had built for the church. So Roanoke Baptist Church is, I don't know, maybe a mile and a half as the crow flies from where the cabin is, and they, you know, when they get ready to have baptisms, they'd walk from the church down to the river, and the preacher baptized them in the 12-mile river. So he built the bathhouse there so the people would have a place to use the restroom. And that was, I don't know, back in the 70s or 80s maybe. Well, it was in just really disrepair when I took over the place and thought about even tearing it down. But decided not to. Decided I'd fix it up and, you know, turn it into a one-room cabin, two-room kind of cabin thing. So I started tearing the thing apart to basically gutted it and took all of the rotten wood off the side of it. Basically just used the structure and put new wood on the outside of it. And I've got this camera set up filming it because Mama, you know, I'm the only child. And, well, you know, mamas are mamas. And she's always interested in, you know, what I'm doing or what's going on. So I've got the camera set up and got in the wood tore off the outside, camera set up so you can see through the studs what I'm doing on the inside of the thing, and pulled some of the boards off of the inside wall and pulled the wall off, pulled the board off of the wall with a crowbar, there was a bumblebee nest in there. And I personally have never seen, up to that point, a bumblebee nest. But I'm going to tell you what, they ate me up. I mean, you will talk about fast. I mean, they were all over me, and I don't know, it seemed like a couple of seconds. And those things hurt. My word, I had welts on my face, on my neck, my hands, my arms, and it didn't matter how far I run from that thing. Those some guns chased me down. I mean, they run me down like a, I don't know what, and was still stinging me. I couldn't get away from them. So it was awful. So by the time I went down to the river, got in the river to get away from them, and stayed down there for a little while, and then left the camera running. So I came back up to the camera to get my camera, and grabbed it real quick and got in the truck. And I looked in the rear, and Walt, it looked like somebody shot me with a shotgun. I had welts all over my face. My lips was swollen. My lips were so big, it was awful. I mean, it was horrible looking. And I didn't know up until that point that I was allergic to bumblebees because I'd never been stung by one. Well, I was stung by one when I was a child. But, they tore me up. Dad used to catch them. You got bumblebees, you got a bumblebee, then you got a carpenter bee. And they look the same, but there's something about the color on them, the way their stripes are. You can tell a carpenter bee from a bumblebee. And Daddy'd catch them in his hand. So I was a little big fella out there in the yard with him, and he'd catch them, and he'd hold them in his hand so I could hear them buzz in his hand when I was little. And I was out messing around the flowers one day, and I said, I'm going to catch one of them things like Daddy does. And lo and behold, it was not a carpenter bee. It was a bumblebee. And I reached up and snatched that thing up in my hand, and man, he eat me up. I mean, just my goodness. So, me and bumblebees don't get along too good. I think me and Gary's talked about putting some honeybees up there this year. But I don't know. We'll see. But go ahead and pick it up, Andy. KO4NUE, KI4LZI, and K4OIM.
LZI. Well, I guess you found out from now on you get around stuff that hadn't been tended to in a while. You better be real, real careful for those bees. And as far as the wild hawks goes, up here at the park, if I get too many up there that gets out of hand, I have a tendency to dig about a 30-foot hole up there, because I've heard them on their repeater up there talking about it. How they get those wild hogs in that 30-foot hole, I don't know, unless they just tranquilize them. They put them in that 30-foot hole, and they claim that they relocate them. Now, what do they really do? I don't know, but I've heard them say that on their repeater up there before. KI4LZI, go ahead, Walt.
The same thing the Navy did with them when I was stationed out on the Pacific Missile Range out at Point Magoo, California. I believe it was St. Nicholas, or it might have been Santa Cruz Island, right right off the coast. The military owned it. And they had, I was wondering why we always had so much pork in the chow hall. But they would go out there on Santa Cruz Island, and they'd take a bunch of sailors out there and arm them with shotguns and turn them loose to thin the population down of the wild hogs. And they dressed them things out and brought them back to the base, and that's what we ate. And we had a problem with, we call them gooks, or mud ducks. They had a problem with them flying into the intakes on the jets when they would take off. And they shut the base down, and they furnished everybody that could carry a shotgun with a shotgun. And I had to go back to the ammo depot in a pickup truck, and I loaded as many shotgun shells as I could up in the back of that truck, take them out there and distribute it to them. And they ran a little goon running down by the runway. And it wasn't nothing. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. Man, they killed thousands and thousands of them ducks. And I thought I had it made. Till that evening after they shut the shooting down, opened the base back up, a bunch of us had to go out there and load all them dead ducks up, load all the pieces. Some of them didn't even have legs. I'm gonna throw them in the truck and haul them out there. Now, they buried them things. I'm surprised they didn't dress them out and make us eat them things. Go ahead, Chad. Pick it up. K-4-L-Z-I-K-O-4 in U-E. This is K-4-O-R-M.
Mud ducks. So when I was little, we got a pond here behind the house. And I had a little fiberglass boat that stays there on the bank. And me and a friend of mine, Brian Plummer, we's always into hunting and fishing and that kind of stuff growing up. And we'd go down there when we were young. I don't know, 8, 9 years old. And we'd frog gig and hunt. And we had two power line pellet rifles, the kind you pump up. His was 177 caliber, and mine was 22 caliber. Well, we got a hold of a bow and arrow one day, and we got out there and been shooting the thing all day. I don't know how many arrows we lost or broke or whatever, but Mama went somewhere. I believe it was wasn't TGNY, Otasco. I believe it was. I believe that's how you say it. I can't remember, but she bought us a handful of arrows. So we go down to the pond, and we got to chasing a mud duck out on that pond with that bow and arrow. And it, you know, mud ducks, they'll go underwater, and then they'll pop up 25, 30 yards from where you saw them last. And, you know, so we've been trying to shoot that thing all day with that bow and arrow. And Brian got mad because we was losing all our arrows trying to shoot the thing. So he gets mad and points that arrow, bow and arrow. We're in the boat now. We're in the boat in the middle of the pond, and he points that arrow straight up in the air and loosed that arrow. And that son of a gun went straight up in the air. And I just remember sitting in that boat going, "What have you done?" Because, you know, it was like slow motion. I mean, it went all the way up real quick. But when it turned and started coming back down, there's nowhere to go, really. That's a horrible feeling. I don't know, you know, maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that, but, oh my goodness, I never will forget that. And he was redheaded and had the temper to go along with it, but absolutely scared me to death. I don't think I'll ever forget that, because, you know, where you going to go? I mean, you going to jump in the water? That ain't going to help you none. So, it was, I don't know, good 10, 15 yards away from the boat when it did go in the water. But, yeah, I know what the mud ducks are. Population gets up, they, you know, just make a bat and a goose, just makes a horrible mess, you know. But go ahead and pick it up, Andy. KO4NUE, K4OAM, KI4LZI.
4LZI. Well, to get these big wild hogs up here, you got to have a pretty stout gun to knock these things out with. Not just in. I'm no gun expert in any means like you. Well, you've been in the military, but you ain't going to go out here with just a little pea shooter and shoot one of these hogs and do any effect, but you got to have a pretty good gun or tranquilizer or something. Like I said, I don't know how they do that, but I've heard them say that, but I just don't know if they tranquilize them, if they kill them, then get rid of them, or what, but somehow they get them in that 30-foot hole and use it as a holding area until they decide whatever they're going to do with them, kill them, or do as they say, move them somewhere else or not. They just use it as a holding area somehow or another. Go ahead, Walt. KI4LZI.
KI, KO4NUE, K4OIM. Chad, you're talking about a funny story. You was talking about going out that pond frog gigging. But I got transferred down on a job at Myrtle Beach. And I stayed in a motel 2 weeks down there in Conway at the Four Oaks. And I said, the heck with this. I was getting per diem. I went and rented a house. 3-bedroom farmhouse up there on 901, right out of Conway, 14 miles from the job. The Waccamaw River was right across the road in front of me. And man, I was going over there. I wasn't frog digging. I started off that way. I took a .22 pistol. I'd go over there with my flashlight and see the eyes pow, pow. I mean, I was over there 2 or 3 times a week. And I never took off my lunch. I always took my lunch to work. And I always had frog legs. I'm sitting there one day, and this black guy that lived down there, he what's that you eating? Is that shrimp? It's got bones in it. I said, it's frog legs. Well, I've heard of frog legs, but I ain't never ate one. I said, well, here, try one. Man, he liked to eat all my lunch. He, man, them things are good. He said, where do you buy these? I said, I don't buy them. I go across the road and get them out of the Waccamaw River. He says, when are you going again? I'd like to go with him and get me some of them. So about 2 nights later, he come over to the house. We'll go across the road with 2 flashlights, and he had a frog gig. He was gigging them. I grab them up, and we had 2 bags, cut their legs off, and throw the body down in the water for the snakes or the turtles to eat or the catfish. Man, I bet we had at least 50 or 75 pair of frog legs apiece. We get back up to the house, I said, well, us to buy them up. Yeah, he said, Mr. Walt,
said you can have all of them. Said after I cut them legs off and them tears was rolling down that frog's eye, I can't eat another one. Pick it up, Chad.
Word. Oh, that's funny. Well, Dad used to take me frog gigging a lot growing up. And we pretty much ate whatever we shot. But I remember growing up, squirrel, we have squirrel dumplings, fried rabbit with, sawmill gravy and biscuits. And, we used to do a lot of dove hunting. Back when I grew up, there was doves out here everywhere, but we was in the middle of a cotton field too. 180 acres of cotton when I grew up was, what it was around here. And so we'd usually take them up to Meemaw's and or my grandmother's, and she knew how to cook them. Well, when I was 12 or 13, my grandfather was, he worked for the county, drove a dump truck, and moved prisoners around on the work crew. And he's always gun trading or doing some kind of trading or this, that, and the other. So he'd take me to the Chesney Flea Market, and he'd pick up a little .22 rifle or something like that. And, back then, it wasn't no big deal. They'd lay rifles out there, and you just go to flea market and buy, get what you want. Well, I fell in love with a little old Marlin 22 carbine looking thing, and I didn't have the money for it. So Pappy loaned me the money, and he bought a rifle for me. So we come back to the house with it, and I was tickled to death. And Daddy had guineas on the property. He kept guineas here because they make good watchdogs. They, anything goes on the property, a guinea's going to let you know. And he kept the eggs, would collect the eggs because they make a really good cake, real rich, So one year, when I got the rifle, I'd bush hog the pasture here in front of the house. And honestly, I didn't mean to kill the thing. When I did, I was just trying my rifle out and was just, I ended up at the end of the day, I don't want you to think bad of me, but I ended up and shot all seven of them. All seven of them. And when I shot the last one, it set in. It dawned on me. Why did you do that? Because Daddy's going to find out. So I took them down to the pond and put three of them in the water, three of them on the bank. Gonna let the mud turtles get them and come on back to the house. So the next day, my cousin, Daddy's cousin, came over. Danny, he's one of the family members we lost with COVID, but he had come over here with a couple of beagles and wanting Daddy to go rabbit hunting with him. And they turned those beagles loose, and son of a gun, I was watching them through the window blinds. Them beagles took off straight for that pond wall. And it wasn't 10 minutes. Here comes Daddy out of the edge of the pasture. And he's mad as a hornet. And he had two of the guineas, and Danny had the other two guineas. So he come up to the house, and at this point, when he's coming up through the pasture, I know I'm going to get it, and I deserved it. But I'd quit, you know, you stick your fingers in between Venetian blinds, and you raise the blinds up so you can look through it. Well, I guess he got about 25, 50 yards from the house, and I was looking through the hole where the string goes through the blind, because I didn't want him to see me looking out the window and have them Venetian blinds up, you know. So he come in the house and he says, come outside right now. So there's four dead birds laying there in the front yard. And he says, son, he says, I found these down at the pond. You know anything about that? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, did you shoot my guineas? And I said, yes, sir, I did. And he said, I never will forget it. He said, why? And Walt, I didn't know what else to tell the man. I mean, I knew I'd fix and get my tail tore up, and just was nervous, and I really don't know why I did it. But when he said why, and I just fired right back immediately, and I didn't mean it to sound that way, but I just says, well, I didn't have nothing else to do. Mm-mm. Oh, no. That lit a fire when I said that. And, oh, my goodness, he got my tail, buddy. That's the last whooping Daddy ever gave me when I was 12 years old. But he got me. And of all things to say, I didn't have nothing else to do. Oh, my word. Oh, trust me, after that, I had plenty to do. And I had plenty to do for the next 10 years of my life. But, oh, I never will forget that. But KO4NUE, K4OIM, KI4LZI. Go ahead and pick it up, Andy.
4LZI, you really lit yourself up on that. Go ahead, KI4LZI.
Guess what thing I got? My dad, I guess I'm about 12 or 13. But, I was raised by my grandmother and my grandpa, and it wasn't because my mom and dad didn't want me. I had two brothers and a sister. It was my grandpa had heart trouble, and my grandmother worked in cotton mill on third shift, and somebody had to be there with my grandpa. Well, I had walked uptown, and this old guy had it was like before flea markets or yard sales, but he had something like a yard sale in his front yard all the time, right in front of the old ice house up there in Greer. And I stopped in there, and he had a pump pellet rifle, and I wanted that thing. God, I don't think he wanted about $10 for it. I didn't have no money. He said, son, you want it? I said, yes, sir. He said, you ain't got no money. Could you work it off? And I said, I thought I was going to have to cut grass. He took me around back, and man, I don't know how many cords of wood he had. I split wood, and I earned that pellet rifle. And this kid that lived up the road from me, next to his grandma and grandpa, he had one of them Red Ryder BB guns. And we'd get out there and set up targets. We didn't shoot birds or nothing like that. We'd target, shoot cans. cans and bottles. That's about the worst thing we done was shooting bottles and breaking glass. And his grandpa had a garage, and he had glass windows all around that sucker. And they were shot all to pieces. He come down there to my grandma and grandpa and said, "I know Walt and Eddie. They only kids up here that's got a gun, a pellet rifle or a BB gun, and they shot my windows out." My daddy come over there, my grandma called him. He come over there, he's gonna have to pay for all that glass. He took his belt off. You never forget that sound of that leather belt coming out of them Levi jeans, man. He tore my butt up. And he said, "We're gonna go up here, Mathis, old man Mathis. I'm gonna go up there and pay for that glass. And you're gonna apologize." Well, we go walking up, and Eddie come out there to see me. There wasn't nothing wrong with him, with his dad. And he said, his daddy said, "What's going on, Mr. Bradshaw?" He said, "Well, ask your dad there." And Eddie's dad, name was Jack. He said, "Daddy, what's the problem?" He said, "Your son and that boy right there, they have shot all the windows outside of my garage out there. And I done got my tail tore up. I'm still crying." And Eddie said, "They didn't do that." He said, "I done that. That's an old garage. You don't use it no more. What do you care if the windows are shot out? I got my butt tore up for nothing." I told Daddy the next day, I said, "Daddy, you owe me one."
Oh, that's good. You talk about busted glass. Now, let me tell you this one. So, I don't know if you know where the furniture barn is up here. Well, back when I was growing up, the Sammy Golightly used to run it. Before he died, and his grandson, I won't say no names, but we best buddies growing up, and his dad had a whole bunch of plum trees down there behind the furniture barn at Zimmy's place. About 5 acres of plums, I guess. So he hired me and Lee one day to come down there and pick half a bushel baskets of them. And we drove all the way down to Columbia to the farmer's market going to try to sell them. I had a whole truckload of them. And they ain't nobody, I might have bought one or two half bushel baskets, you know. Well, we brought them all back home. And I told Lee's dad, I said, "Hey, you know, can I have three of them? I'll give me mom make some, you know, plum jelly out of them." Well, I took the other two and decided I'd go make some homemade wine. Because granddaddy kept a bottle of blackberry wine in the house. It was kosher. It was Jewish. Had been kosher means had been blessed by a rabbi. But it was called Manischewitz or something like that, blackberry wine. It had very little alcohol content to it. But when he had upset stomach, he'd drink him a little glass of that blackberry wine, and he just loved it. So my thinking, in my mind, I'm going to make Pappy, I'm going to make Granddaddy some plum wine. So I got 2 5-gallon buckets, got on my bicycle, rode up to Bloomer Williams' store, They had a charge account. Mom and Dad had a charge account up at Bloomer's. So I took my bicycle up there and bought, I don't know, 15, 20 pounds of sugar. A box of 22 shorts, and he had some tobacco hanging on the nail there in the back. It was a twist. It wasn't in a pack. It was just twisted and hanging on the nail. I want to think it was called Black Mariah or African Twist or something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. Well, I told him I wanted a stick of that, and he just laughed, you know, Bloomer. He just laughed, and I put all that on the charge card, on the charge ticket, thinking, well, when I get it done and Pappy likes it, he'll pay me for the sugar, and I'll pay the charge count, and Mom and Daddy will never know no different. So I put all that on my bicycle, went to the house, and put half a stick of that Black Mariah in my mouth on that bicycle going to the house. And, oh, man, by the time I got to the house, I was so sick. Oh, my word, that tobacco it was awful. Well, got over the nicotine fit, and the next day went out there and mashed my plums up and put my sugar in it, and put them in 5-gallon buckets out in the shop, put them under the workbench, and left them there. It was about a week or so, I guess. And put some, Mama had some bread yeast in the house, put some bread yeast in there so it ferment a little bit. Now, I'm asking Pappy how do you make wine? How do you do this? For his big surprise. And Pappy, not knowing that I'm making the stuff, he's telling me, you know, what to do. So I get on my bicycle, go back home, and do what he said. So I let it work for about a week, and went in the house and got a bunch of Mama's quart jars with the cannon jars, and poured all that wine up in them quart jars and hid them all through the shop. Well, Dad's got a workbench there in front of the window, so on the shop, made out of wood, and, you know, workbenches just get cluttered up, paint and spray bottles of this or this, that, and other. So, right under the window. So, I took two of them and mixed them in with them paint containers on the workbench, thinking he'll never see it. He'll never know it's there. So, and that stuff had not stopped fermenting either. So, I put screwed the lids down on them and put two of them up on that workbench and hid the rest of them in the shop. Well, about 2 days later, he comes out there. But I don't know what he's working on. It seemed like a starter or alternator or something. And he's got the hammer, and he is beating the hound out of whatever it is, trying to get something out. And the vibrations when he hit that table, one of them jars busted, Walt. It punctured one of the spray cans of paint and busted two panes of the glass out up underneath the workbench and got wine all over Daddy. And I run. It blew up. And I run into the house. Oh, my word. Oh, my goodness. He got my butt. He got my butt. And I had to tell him. Everything that I'd done. So I got my tail blistered for making wine, and then he put me in the truck and took me up to Granddaddy's, which was his daddy, and I had to explain to him and Pappy that I'd been making wine, and Pappy didn't want to hear me, you know. I tried to tell him that I was making the wine for him, but he wasn't hearing it. He wasn't having it. And then we went to where'd you get the sugar? And I told him, well, I went to Bloomer's and got the sugar. And he said, well, where'd you get the money? And I said, well, I put it on the charge count. So we went up to Bloomer's, pulled the charge count out, and then he saw that Black Mariah on that charge count. It's 67 cents. 67 cents for a twist of Black Mariah. And got my butt blistered again, right there underneath the awning there at Bloomer's. Right there at the crossroads. So I got it that day. He got me twice. Once for the wine, and then it blowing up, and then I had to work this summer and pay the charge count off and pay for the glass and got my butt tore up twice. So, you know, I get the busted glass, you know. I never did shoot no glass out with BB guns. But I did it other ways, you know what I mean? K04NUE, K4OAM, and KI4LZI. Go ahead and get it, Andy.
4LZI. I remember throwing apples over a house one time that another cousin got me to do it. Up there in, up above Swannanoa, North Carolina, at a place up there. And I took and hit a window there in the house and broke it instead of getting it over the roof, and I got mine to work singing. But me and another cousin was up there. It's been so long, I don't even remember what we was doing, but we was throwing apples over the roof of the house, because there was apple trees there at the back of the house, and we got to doing that, and I missed and broke a window there, and I got mine tore up then. I don't even remember why we was doing it. We just was doing it, though. Well, we were just being young, as my sister told me. Go ahead, Walt.
K-I-4-L-Z-I. K-I-4-N-U-E, K-4-O-I-M. Chad, you and I have so much in common, it's unreal. I am, my grandpa, he was a moonshiner. Well, everybody on my mother's side of the family were moonshiners up there at Glassy Mountain. And I consider myself pretty good at making homebrew. Well, I was working out of town and staying in a motel room, and my pipe foreman, I was the grading foreman, my pipe foreman said, "Whoa, me and my wife got a 3-bedroom double wide up here. We got an empty bedroom." Said, "Quit paying that motel bill and say, give me $30 a week and you can stay with me and my wife, and she cooks and all of that, and you can ride to work with me." So I moved in with them, and me and Bruce, pretty good beer drinkers. I said something about homebrew. He said, "You know how to make it?" I said, "Yeah." So I went out and we got the stuff, and I mixed up 10 gallons. Well, we didn't have no jars to put it in. And it had been firm meat making. Time to put it in the jars. We go out and go up and down the road, finding all the beer bottles, quart beer bottles we could find. We took them all, put them in boiling water, washed them out good, poured up my homebrew in them, and we sent most of them underneath the floor of the double wide. And it hadn't quit, wasn't quite ready to drink, so I took four quarts in the house and set them up on top of the microwave. One morning, got up, and his wife's in there fixing breakfast. And there's them four quarts Budweiser bottles sitting there. She starts cooking, and one of them bottles exploded. It destroyed the whole kitchen. Thank God she'd walked back in the living room, because it was like a fragmentation grenade going off. It blew glass all in the sheetrock, blew the windows out of the kitchen, and me and Bruce went running in there. She didn't know what happened, and I looked and I seen three quart bottles sitting on top of the microwave. Get it out of here. Get it out of here. I had to pick that stuff up, not knowing when each bottle was going to go off, and take it out there in the field, and then go back up the house. And I made Bruce come out there and help me, because it's his idea. And help me get all that stuff out under the floor. I don't know if any of them went off after that or not. We never did go look at them. But, yeah, I know, boy, when one of them things goes off, they go off. K-I-4-L-Z-I-K-4-L-A-M. Go ahead and pick it up, Chad. You got me life in the night.
K-I-4-L-Z-I, well, I know some people in the family that does that kind of thing. And as y'all seen from doing it yourselves, you better be very, very careful. Very, very careful. And I'm going to have to get out here in about 5 minutes to take in. So y'all go ahead and carry on. But as you say, when you're making it the old-fashioned way, you better be very, very careful. K-I-4-L-C-I.
See, now, it does explode, because that's exactly what happened. It blew glass everywhere, busted. It even went through one of the spray cans of paint, busted the glass out. That ain't the only thing got busted that day. My butt got busted, because he got me twice. And then the worst thing is, I never did get in trouble with the law. I just stay in mischief all the time. Just something all the time. And, no trouble. But, oh, man, then I have to get it from Mama. And then, Daddy, and then I have to come home and get it from Mama. Oh, man, that was the worst. Daddy whipped me when I needed it. And it was over. I don't know how many times I remember him telling me, okay, you paid your price, it's over. And, he'd always, love on me after that. But, Mama'd stay on it for days and just wouldn't be quiet about it. It's just like, oh my gosh, here we go, But I just stayed in all kind of trouble. So when I was little, Daddy had a John Deere 40 that we'd bush hog with. It was had a starter on it, but I also had a hand crank for it, and I think it was 6 volt. And 6 volt, they don't start too good sometimes. Well, Daddy normally started the thing mostly by hand with the hand crank. And we was getting ready to go bush hog out here in the pasture out here. I have a bunch of old sage weed or whatever you want to call it. And big old rotten spider. He's bigger than a 50-cent piece. Big old thing. Yellow and black, ugly, just horrible looking thing. And I was scared to death of them growing up. But Granddaddy told me that you know, I asked him what that was in the middle of the web. You know, because in the middle of the web, they do a funny little zigzag in front of the web. And I remember him telling me, that's somebody's name. And he didn't spell it right. And I thought, what is he talking about? And he says, this is what he told me. He said, if you can't let him see your teeth, because if he sees your teeth and he spells your name, then you're gonna die. And he said that boy right there, that he's tried to spell his name. He said that's a warning. That's letting that boy know that I ain't got you spelling quite right. But when I get you spelling right, because you've been being bad, you're gonna die. And to this day, when I get around a rotten spider or any kind of spider, I immediately, there's no smiling, there's no talking, nothing. I'm not going to let him see my teeth for nothing. So my point to this whole conversation is we used to hog hunt a lot when I was before I graduated high school. And we'd drive to Perry, Florida every year, about 90 miles past Valdosta, Georgia. And we stayed in an old motel there that was condemned. They had a logging community, tens of thousands of acres. And they let the trees get so big, they'd come in and log them, and, you know, it'd take a year or so to get all the trees out. We had a motel there called the Buckville Manor. And when they cut all the logs out, you know, the business in the area just died. So he'd been condemned for years, and we'd go down there and stay every year at the Buckville Manor. And we'd have to spend a day or two cleaning because it was, like I said, it was condemned. It was horrible. I mean, just horrible. Well, when we got there the first day, I just got out of basic training and went down with Dad. And we'd stay gone for 25, 26 days. And we were cleaning the room out. And I'd sleep in the room with Dad. And we'd got through mopping everything and this, that, and the other. And I come out of the threshold on the door, and there's a spider on the walkway right outside the door. And, you know, sometimes when you see things like that when you're young, they're a lot bigger than what they, you know, they actually are. But in my mind, that thing was big as a softball. I mean, it was huge. So I come out of the threshold, see this thing walking on the threshold there, and raise my foot up to stomp on it, and that, I swear, walked that sun gun hissed at me. Made a hissing noise when I raised my foot. And I slept in the truck for the next couple of days in the front seat of the truck because I just... absolutely scared to death of my kinks. Damn, not afraid of much, but spiders, I can't do. And you'll never see me smile around spider to this day. And, you know, I know Pappy was just trying to make me be good, is what he was doing. But he's not writing my name in no web, and he's not going to see me smile either. K-O-4-N-U-E and K-4-O-I-M.
K-O-4-N-U-E-K-4-O-I-M. Chad, I always heard the same thing growing up about the rotten spiders. Don't show your teeth or they'll write your name and you're going to die. But about About 8 years ago, it was one of the last jobs I worked on. They sent me down to Hilton Head Island to grade out down there in the swamp and lay the pipe work for the water and sewer and the storm drain for a Hampton Inn motel. And we were staying down there right off 95. I can't think of the name of that highway where USC, it ain't USC Spartanburg, but it's coastal Carolina, I think. But me and a buddy of mine, he was my pipe foreman. We roomed together, and I had to pick him up in Columbia Monday morning on their way down 26 and 95 down to Bluffton. And the rooms were so expensive out there at Hilton Head, we had to get a room in Bluffton. And we came in one night. Came in there, they didn't work, and a pigeon had flew into our window and broke its neck and fell down dead right there in front of the door. And I said, man, I can't think of his name. I called his name, I said, man, there's a damn dead pigeon right in front of the door. I went over and kicked it. No, 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 don't touch that. I didn't know down there on the coast, especially around Bluffton and Savannah, they are deeply into voodoo. They said, go up there and to the desk and tell them there's a dead bird down here. I said, I'll pick it up and throw it over in the dumpster. No, Walt, don't touch it. That's a bad sign. I didn't know what he was talking about. I went up there and the lady at the desk come down there. Oh, no, 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 don't touch it, no. Because there's blood there on the sidewalk at her door. What are y'all scared of? I couldn't believe it. They believe in that stuff down there. I just reached there and picked old pigeon up by the leg, walked across the parking lot, and just crossed out there in the field. That woman was, oh no, you're gonna die, you're gonna die. But there's so much of that superstition still going on, especially down there toward the coast, Chad. California, K4OIM.